One of the secrets that has been revealed to me is something that I would like to share with you at this time. If you had the capacity to hear Christ speak, you would hear every word that Christ speaks in the Bible. Part of the unique mission of Jesus Christ was to make visible and audible for mortals the world over the words of Christ within that no mortal is capable of hearing. If you were in communion with the Spirit of God, you would hear the voice say, I and the Father are one. But until that communication is established, if you are going to hear those words of the inner Christ, you must hear them spoken in the outer by Jesus. Because the world intermediary to hear and to project the omnipresent voice of Christ within every man, until such time as man can hear the voice directly, had to be on earth so that you and I would know what takes place in the inner. So it is that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, many other prophets foresaw the day when all inhabitants of earth would hear the divine voice within. In part, this was the meaning of Jesus' statement to the Pharisees when he said, they shall all be taught of God. He was not speaking as Jesus the man, but as Christ the invisible spirit, for he added this divine truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. When you accept I within as the Spirit of God in you, you are eating the bread of Christ. You are accepting Christ's identity, which is one with God, and through this Christ in you, the infinite consciousness of God feeds your soul with divine essence, containing all that God is. Infinite communication is opened up. Material bread feeds your body. Christ within, the living bread, feeds your soul, opens the faculties of your soul, And unless these faculties are developed during this lifetime by frequent, daily communication from God to Christ within you, you will leave this plane unprepared for higher experience. Around you now, unperceived by your sense mind, are living entities who will become a vital part of your spiritual life. These entities pass by mortals on earth unnoticed. But as your soul faculties develop, these entities become part of your experience, and they are able to assist you in attaining higher levels of consciousness. And this phase of your development, if ignored now, will keep you chained to recurring states of mortality. That is one of the reasons Christ says, "I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly." The more abundant life requires divine instruction. Through your daily supping at the table of Christ, in the midst of you, Christ is your constant supply of everything needed. Home, business, health, companionship, understanding, inspiration. And when these qualities seem to be lacking, what is really lacking is your daily realization of the presence of Christ as the very nature and substance of your being. Nothing of God is lacking in Christ. And Christ is always the invisible presence of your true being. So, what is lacking? Your consciousness has not yet caught up with the truth that the kingdom of God is within your Christhood, now awaiting your recognition. But God will not leave you comfortless. You have come too far to be denied the priceless pearl. Many secret trails will lead to the infinite treasures of selfhood, and one of these trails, although familiar to you, has a deeper meaning than mankind has suspected. When you read that Christ is knocking at the door of your consciousness, what does that mean to you? Have you personalized this wisdom? Have you nodded in agreement without opening the door? In the final chapter of Living Between Two Worlds, Joel reveals a dramatic new depth to these words of Christ. I stand at the door and knock. Christ, standing at the door of your consciousness, the indwelling presence of God, which brings you eternal life, promises, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, meaning I will enter his consciousness. I will sup with him, meaning we will share the same table, the same food. We will share the same infinite divine life. And he will sup with me. When God sups with you, and you sup with God, are there two? Or are you receiving the revelation that when you open your consciousness to God, God becomes your consciousness? Do you see that? You have God consciousness in your Christhood. Do you perceive that you cannot receive God into your consciousness until you have erased the false belief that you are a physical human being? By renouncing mortality, you open the door of consciousness. By renouncing mortality, in the recognition of your I-self, which is the immortal Christ life. And now, as the light of truth rises in your soul, Joel opens the door still wider and lifts us to a still higher understanding of mystical truth. With this very penetrating observation, many times a day, you must close your eyes for a second and say, yes, I recognize my Christhood. The I in the midst of me. But then, as someone enters your household, or even your thought, remember that the I of him is also knocking at the door of your consciousness, asking to be admitted. You will find that powerful idea on page 121. And in those words, you will discover a magical divine power. Now here we come face to face with a key that unlocks infinity in your consciousness, if you follow through. And the place to begin is in your home. Who are the people you live with? Are you looking at them with yesterday's eyes? With yesterday's judgments? Have you put up labels? on them, like mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife? Do you see them as old or young, sick or well, ambitious or lazy? Well, here's a surprise for you. You have been judging by appearances, not righteous judgment. Not only have you misjudged them, but you have also separated yourself from God. And your unenlightened view of your own household is keeping you glued to this material world. Joel has a very shocking piece of advice for you. Since you know everybody so well, he says, on page 117, it is hard for you to see that the members of your own household are saints. You are the one who is in error, not they. Because God never made any other than a saint. Furthermore, Joel calls on us to hold no member of your family in bondage to his sins, to his errors, or to his disposition. Realize that whatever is not of God must disappear because it has no law of God to sustain it. Recognize that in the midst of each member of the household is God. And it will not take long before you have dominion over your concepts. Take another look at that word, over your concepts. Now that's more than fatherly advice. Jesus gave us the same insight with different words. But no words can lift your soul consciousness unless you put those words to work. It really makes little difference whether you start in your home, office, or any group in which you are a member. Your progress into spiritual living depends on living in your spiritual self. And the purpose of the Christ statement, that I stand at the door and knock, is to open your Christ vision above limited human vision. Christ is saying, trust me in you. I am the invisible self of you, your true eternal self, where you stand in the appearance of mortal flesh that dies, I stand. Face that. Wrestle with it. Ponder it. Where you stand, only I am. And I am yourself. Until you come to grips with this divine truth and accept I, Christ, as your identity now. I will continue to knock on the door of your consciousness until you let me in. Now, expand your acceptance of I, Christ, as God directs you. Whoever comes into your experience now is not a person. And this you must do. He or she is Christ invisible. I, Christ invisible, knocking at the door of your consciousness. That is not your mother, father, brother, sister, son, or daughter. Do not judge by appearances. Judge righteous judgment. Well, you are seeing a person, a relative, stands I, Christ, invisible to human sense. I, Christ, here, invisible where you stand. I, Christ, there, invisible where the other person stands. Wherever there are two or more in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You are not only the I Christ of the form in which you appear. Please listen carefully. You are the I Christ of the form in which the other person appears. One undivided I Christ. That is your treasured secret. That is your path to immortality. The individual I Christ that you are is the I Christ of mankind. You have been calling I Christ your father and mother. You've even called I Christ your friend or foe. You have been calling infinite I Christ a good person or a bad person. And you have been calling the invisible, divine image and likeness of your father good or bad, young or old, sick or well. You have seen them incorrectly because the unillumined mind of man lives in its own projected image, not in reality. The way out is to identify everyone you meet with the silent realization that this is I, Christ. Joel knew the importance of this I recognition so well that he automatically wrote I. Over the head of everyone he saw, or even thought about. He divulged this secret on page 123. Everyone who enters in my consciousness has a sign over his head saying, I. And that I is knocking at the door of my consciousness, begging me to recognize it. And when I do this, his mortality evaporates and something takes place to bring harmony into his experience. But it does not come through having sick people coming to me or hearing words from sinners who seek healing or seek to be reformed. It comes through one principle alone: spiritual discernment. I see the eye. I recognize it. I accept it. I welcome it. I bless it. And sooner or later, the person who asked for healing, for help, has recognized that I have his own identity. Finally, this amazing statement. The only reason we can heal or bring forth a healing is that the only ones who come to us are the sons of God. The healing consists in recognizing that. Your developed eye consciousness never sees a sinner or a sick person. It sees the eye, not the physical form in which it is clothed. And because it does not accept sin, disease, lack, and limitation, in consciousness, it does not project these thought images outward. Instead, you turn from the appearances to the eye, begging for entrance into your consciousness, and you say, enter. In that instant of rejecting the appearance and accepting the invisible divinity of your patient, you make way for the Spirit of God to reveal itself in your experience. It's time for meditation. So let us enter the gates of New Jerusalem. Let us leave this mortal world behind. A new day of consciousness is dawning, in which the pure light of God replaces conditioned human thought. Can man be Christ? and be guilty of sin. Can the indwelling Christ be limited? If Christ is the divine identity of mankind, can I be a human creature? Can you? Can anyone? If Christ can never die, who dies? But an image in thought. Let us wash the feet of the world. Both Peter and the thief on the cross are the same divine identity, appearing in the midst of human senses. Each time we identify a human being, whatever his appearance, we deny his Christ identity, and we deny that we are the Christ standing there. Christ accepts no sin, no error, no evil, no lack of disease, and no death. Can there be death where the invisible Christ is alive? Can there be lack where Christ has come to give us life more abundant? Can there be war where Christ is giving us my peace? You see, in accepting the everywhereness of Christ without opposite, we transcend appearances. And we know the invisible perfection that surrounds us. Everywhere, Christ is expressing the omnipresence of God. Everywhere, perfect Christ power is functioning. Human vision lies. Everywhere, the one Christ mind without opposite is imaging forth the infinite light of God. There are no flaws in this creation, no separate lives, no separate selves being born or dying at separate times. There are no defective or temporary physical bodies living on borrowed time. Above the mortal illusion, in I-ness we stand, a majority of one. As the peace of one undivided consciousness blesses us with a divine essence. When the eye of mankind stands at the door of your consciousness, You are on the threshold. Of the spiritual universe, ready to take dominion over the false world in the mind of man. At this altitude of awareness, spiritual discernment will reveal to you that Christ is everywhere, that never again can you behold your neighbor as sick or sinning, dying or dead. Life always surrounds you, a life that can never stop living, whether visible or invisible. In Christhood, you are a majority of one, accepting Christ everywhere. You transcend personality. You transcend physical separation. God being infinite, nothing else exists. And in this realization, you finally bear true witness to Christ, the Son of Man, the Eye of God, the One Self of all men. When Spirit knocks on the door of your consciousness, and the spirit of you replies, enter, you have crossed the imaginary line of mortality. And the Father will bring forth the fatted calf to celebrate your return home to Christ consciousness. For all of us, Christ Jesus is an example of what can be done by you, by me. When we acknowledge spirit where persons seem to be, the infinite Christ of you, which has already overcome the world, walks through all appearances, untouched. Your Christ mind will never externalize a storm, a raging ocean, an earthquake, an epidemic, a diseased body. When you see Christ walk on water, you are looking at a pure consciousness which beholds only the spiritual creation, where the world sees a ship tossed on the sea. Christ consciousness sees no woman with an issue of blood, but only the infinite, perfect soul body. Christ consciousness beholds its own perfection everywhere, even where the controlled mind of man sees death. In October, Southern California experienced a disastrous earthquake. In the midst of the ruins, individuals of spiritual consciousness were not touched. Many buildings were ripped open and gutted. And even after the quake, there were families who were afraid to return home for fear of being trapped in an aftershock. Religious families were praying to God to save them from destruction. Neither the church nor the city officials nor the various social agencies in the stricken area could eliminate the fear in the hearts of many people who believed in Jesus as the way shower 2,000 years ago, but could not find a way to believe in him now. Ignored during the crisis, overlooked by millions who prayed to an external God, was the true Savior of man, Christ within, stood in the midst of that earthquake. Christ, the invisible identity of those who appeared homeless, and those who prayed in vain for Jesus to come and to save them. Those same people will be praying for Jesus tomorrow, and the church will tell them they are sinners, suffering divine punishment, and worst of all, they will believe it. Even the Pope's visit to the United States just before the earthquake did not prevent it. The evangelists in Los Angeles did not prevent it. The president vacating in Camp David, or a previous president born in Whittier, California, have not been able to prevent it. Earthquakes. In fact, all the physical powers of our government, including mighty missile power, cannot protect its citizens from this uncontrollable epileptic seizure that erupts in the earth and wantonly destroys man and his fragile creation. But I, in the midst of thee, am mighty. I, not a church, not the babbling of men whose breath is in their nostrils, not the power of governments and their chosen representatives, I alone, the Word of God, expressing through the infinite Christ, to which mankind is blind, I alone can still the storm, tame the wind, bring forth divine peace, where man, separated from his own Christhood, invites the negative flow of karma to overturn the earth. I, Christ in you, your hope of glory. And so we have our mandates clearly set forth. We are to live in the I, Christ of ourself, in everyone we see. It is important for you to know this now in order to make our April seminar a major spiritual event, spiritual event. This transformation of world consciousness that we are bringing forth with others who live in I, Christ, is the only hope of this world. And to be a part of it is one of the great joys of all of us who participate in the bringing of Christ recognition to the world. That will be the theme of our seminar, Transition. To see that there is one power on heaven and on earth, I alone am. We've now spent 2 years preparing for this. And I'm looking forward to the day when all of us, 5 months from now, meet in San Diego in the one I consciousness. Not in two worlds. In our transition experience, the revelation of heaven and earth as one will be revealed. See you March 31st. Until then, love in oneness from the Isle of Rainbows, from I to I.